I've been really blessed listening to Pastor Vaughn and my friend Phil. This is very inspiring and very encouraging, and it's a big blessing. God so loved the world; God loves the whole world, and but I want to thank God that they've got their base in Africa, and then other bases are going to be set up in other countries. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to thank you for giving us this time to be together. I pray, Father, that once again you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened so that we might know the hope to which you have called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints. I pray, Lord, that you anoint our hearts to be receptive to your holy word, and you anoint our ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us. Thank you, Father, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to share with you something which the Lord has been speaking to us during the course of the week, and which will really be a continuation of what Phil has been sharing with us. I want to talk about the love of God. Can we all say the love of God? Love of God. Or let's say that in the love of God. Praise God. More than once, we heard from Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, I think Dr. Leon made reference to it, that faith works by love. And then, you know, there's another scripture which I normally quote, which is in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. It says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And meaning, whatever we do, it must be something that is coming from what our having heard the word of God, because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's like everything which Phil has been sharing with us concerning overland missions. It's about the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. So that the reason why this is happening is because of what the Lord spoke. Amen. And I know that we are to act on what is written in the word of God. But there are times when also the Lord gives us a specific word in a particular situation or on a particular day. And still, faith is involved, because faith does not just come by just having heard a verse in the Bible, but also God will speak to us a word by his spirit, which is consistent with his written word. Amen. Praise God. So I want to talk to us concerning love. You know, in 1982, the Lord led me to start a ministry. And when the Lord led me to start a ministry, I was only 22 years old. That same year is the same year that I got married. My wife, I remember she was less than 21 years. She was working for her 21st year. And I was already 22. And we were so young in appearance that I remember some people were laughing at us or cracking jokes on us. They were saying their two children getting married on Saturday when they were making reference to our wedding. But I had a vision from God to preach his word, to make disciples, and to go around the world preaching God's word. To some people then, it seemed like selfish ambition, something coming from my own ego, because I wanted to do something big. But I really had a vision, and I want to thank God he has been faithful in the fulfillment of that vision. And it's still unfolding, and I give the Lord all the glory and all the praise. In that same year, 1982, we faced a lot of opposition. We faced opposition from the ministry I'd worked with, the ministry I'd put a lot of myself into. I mean, a lot of time and strength and commitment. I used to walk on foot. I mean, I'm talking about on farms, preaching the word and coordinating things. But when the Lord led me to start a work, it was a different story. But I thank God that I had a revelation of the love of God. Can we all say the love of God? I still remember with my wife, we used to kneel down. And as we used to kneel down, we used to pray for the man of God who was leading that ministry. We used to pray for our friends who were no longer friends to us, friendly to us, but we considered them friends. And the amazing thing is, I remember we were at a wedding, and I bumped into this man of God. God just worked it outside that we met. He has a big ministry in our country. And when I met him, he asked me, he said, "Ifeel, let's take a walk." And we went on a walk. And as we went on that walk, he talked to me, opened up his heart to me. I remember he said, "You know what, Ifeel, people have been coming to me and they've been saying things to me. And as they've been saying things to me, I know they've also been coming and talking to you." Then I told him, I said to him, "You know what? I've never said anything bad about you." And somehow, in his spirit, there was tension between us. He was sensing we need to get together with Ifeel. To cut a long story short, that man today is one of my best friends. The first car which I drove, he bought me. But one thing I want to say to you is love never fails. Amen. You see, as we, also what has been spoken here, during the week, much reference, even today, there's been reference to the fact that we have known each other for many years. And what happens is, when you know each other for many years, you begin to know each other, the good things and also the bad things. But what will keep you going together? It's not because you are perfect people, because you know very well that you are not a perfect person. And I know very well that I'm not a perfect person. But what will keep us moving on together is the love of God. Amen. You see, God's love. But I want to give you a little bit, I've made a commitment to walk in love. And I've made a commitment that I'm not going to love anyone because he's nice to me. But I'm going to love everyone whom God says I should love, and that is everyone. That's a choice which I've made. And I don't love you because you are giving me anything. But I love you because of what the Word of God says. And I appreciate the blessings that come through relationships. This is not to run down on the blessings that come through relationships. But what happens is, if you just... Let me do a little bit of definition here. I know I might be telling you things which you might have heard before, but there's nothing wrong with getting refreshed. The Greeks had more words for love than the English. That's what the Bible scholars, Greek scholars tell us, and the Hebrew scholars also tell us about Hebrew being translated into English. Now, in English, we come across the word love, 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 love. Like someone says, "I love this," "I love cats," or "I love dogs." And the same person says, "I love God." And then after that, "I love ice cream." And then the same word love is used for "I love you," meaning my wife or my husband. But we are told that the Greeks said about four words for love, and the first one is agape, which is the God kind of love, which is unconditional. Then another word for love, which is phileo, which is human love, which is conditional. It means I love you because you are good to me. But there are people who used to tell someone, "I love you," but they changed after 2-3 years, and they started to hate those people. And why? Because it's natural human love. Natural human love changes, but God's love does not change. We are told the Greeks also had a word called storge, which is nepotistic love, which is relational love. There are people, we love people who, I mean, we have relatives who are into drugs, who are into prostitution, but we love them. Why? Because we have got that biological connection. They are our relatives. And God has created us that way. And then there is eros, which is romantic love, the love between men and women. So as we talk about love this morning, we are talking about agape love, the God kind of love. Can we all say the God kind of love? You know, I want to thank God that in this conference, agape, the God kind of love, was really spoken about. And the man of God, Pastor Vaughn, spoke about a revival of love. And Joyce Meyer recently, she released a book called The Love Revolution. Yes. You know, God is speaking to the church concerning love, mm-hmm. the God kind of love. Mm-hmm. And but I also want to speak to those of you who are starting in ministry or you are young in ministry. Love, as you, go, I mean, love will is what will keep you going. I know we have a wedding today. Love is what will keep your marriage a joyful marriage. There is romantic love, yes, between a young man and a young woman getting married, and between a husband and a wife, but I don't know how many times my wife has wronged me and how many times she has I've wronged her, but we have had to apologize to each other and forgive each other. The man of God, E.W. Kenyon, wrote a book in his days called Two Kinds of Love. And when he wrote a book called Two Kinds of Love, I remember he said, agape does not know the divorce court. Why? Because of its qualities. Hallelujah. And we're not just talking about divorce in the context of marriage between a man and a woman. But even, do you know we can divorce each other in relationships? So that I began to say, I no longer want to have anything to do with that brother. Or that I no longer want to have anything to do with that sister. But one thing about agape, the God kind of love, agape, it will enable us, I will know my brother's problems or even weaknesses. And my brother or my sister might even do me wrong. But by that love, I'll keep on loving my brother. And sometimes, even if he distances himself from me, I'm going to go on my knees and I say, thank you, Lord, for my brother. And I'm going to pray for my brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why is love so important? I just want to give you some scriptures. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love. Can we all say God is love? That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, he that loveth knoweth God, knoweth not God, for God is love. Can we all say, for he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Can we all say, God is love? Let's say that God is love. Praise God. The Bible does not tell us that God is power. It doesn't tell us that God is faith, but it tells us that God is love. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, not very far from that scripture, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Can we all say love is of God? Amen. And then another point again in the same scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, if you look at it, it tells us that, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Meaning everyone that walks in agape, can we all say everyone that walks in agape knoweth God. Hallelujah. And is born of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I want to just pause a little bit here as I talk to you concerning the importance of love. You know, Christianity is not a religion. Hallelujah. It is the life of Christ in me and the life of Christ in you. Can we all say Jesus lives inside me? Hallelujah. And, you know, Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Talking about himself. Jesus also said, I and the Father are one. Hallelujah. In another place, Paul says, Jesus is the express image of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. It means if you want to know what God looks like, you look at Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. He said in another, in fact, we read in John 13, very powerful scripture. I remember we were taught from that scripture during the conference. Concerning how Jesus took Jesus washed, I don't still remember, it was just mentioned in passing when it was a teaching. Jesus Christ, he washed the feet of his disciples. But before we come to that washing of the feet of the disciples, the Bible tells us, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, the Bible tells us he loved his own, and he loved his own to the end. Can we all say he loved his own to the end? Now, do you know one of the men whose feet he washed? It was Judas. Judas was present when Jesus did the foot washing. Hallelujah. 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 He that is in ear, let him hear. I said Judas was present when the foot washing was done by Jesus. It means Jesus loved Judas. He didn't love what was in Judas, the evil that was in Judas' heart, but he loved Judas as a man. Hallelujah. It also shows us that Jesus practiced what he preached. Because he said, love your enemies. Hallelujah. And he said, do good to those who despitefully use you and persecute you. I was in a conference in Botswana years ago, and a man of God shared something which I had never experienced in our ministry, but then several years later, I experienced it. Betrayal. That man of God, he said, every major ministry he knew, he's a well-known man of God, he has a big ministry. He said, almost every major ministry he knew has experienced one thing in common at one time or another, betrayal. And you cannot be betrayed by someone who is far away from you. The only person who can betray you is someone who is close to you. Someone who knows your ins and outs. Someone you confide with, you trust. And sometimes even, you know, sometimes we're a bit naive. The Lord can even start to show you that person is not straight. But, of course, you know, also the Bible says love believes the best concerning everybody. So you'll be saying, no, I think I'm seeing wrong. And sometimes even some people will come and talk to you who love you and care for you, and they'll say, watch out, so and so. And because you believe in a person, and he's the person you open your heart to, you've been opening your heart to, and even giving you counsel, and yet the same person is working behind your back, behind the scenes, working on undermining you and to destroy you. No, because concerning Judas, the Bible tells us Satan had put it into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. And also earlier on, he said one of you is a devil, talking about Judas. Being Jesus knew there's Judas here. But he washes his feet anyway. He loves him. He's a man created in the image and likeness of God. He was not a demon. Hallelujah. You see, at first it says Satan had put it into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. And then it goes further to say, and Satan entered into Judas. Means this thing was in phases. And one of the greatest tests of love in our lives, children of God, servants of God, ministers of the gospel, it is when you experience betrayal and you continue to love the person who has betrayed you. Knowing that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. Knowing that God loves this person like what we're taught this week. That the image of God is on that person. I think it's the other brother, Steve, who shared with us. That the image of God is on that person. And as the image of God is on that person, it is the enemy who is after that person. I experienced betrayal after that conference. It didn't happen immediately, but that word was a prophetic word. I had a man. He was my administrator. I trusted that brother. He worked hard. But I didn't know he would ever betray me. But after he left, you know, you remember the sons of Zebedee who said, Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven and destroy these people like what Elijah did? You know, that's what your flesh and your emotions feel like doing. Yeah. So I'm not talking, this is, you can experience betrayal. Some of us, you might have experienced betrayal in a marriage. Betrayal with a close relation. But what I did is I prayed for that brother. It was hard in the natural. But I prayed because you know what? The Bible says God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Our God is not a hard God. He is not a difficult God. He is loving. He is just. He will not tell us to do something we cannot do. If we can't do it, he gives us the enablement to. Or like what the Bible tells us, is it Philippians 2:13? It tells us he's at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And also Romans 5:5 says, the love of God. Can you all say the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, in my heart, by the Holy Spirit, whom God has given unto me. Can we say it more boldly? Can we all say the love of God, unconditional love, sacrificial love, is shed abroad in my spirit, by the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to me. Hallelujah. Love never fails. That's what the Bible tells us. In fact, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, please. 1 Corinthians 13. The brother I'm telling you about, we walked in love towards that brother. Prayed for him. It took almost 4 years, we experienced reconciliation. Today, he's a partner of our ministry. He doesn't come to our church, but he supports our ministry big time. He's a businessman. Hallelujah. Love never fails. Can we all say love never fails? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You see, after Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have no love, I'm like a noisy gong and a tinkling cymbals, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have no love, I am nothing.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have no love, it profits me nothing. You know, in verse 1, he says, I'm like a noisy gong and a tinkling cymbal if I have no love. But thank God I have love. But the problem with Christians is walking in the love. Did you get that? So it's not just about the love. I have it by virtue of the fact that it's shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit whom God has given to me. I must walk in that love. It's like this. Lazy people have energy. But they are not working. But they are lazy. It's because of laziness that they are not working. The Lord has deposited his love in us. In fact, not only deposited, he himself resides in me and you. And he is love. Amen? Amen. The choice is up to us to walk in that love. In fact, to walk in that love, we have to acknowledge that I have it. And that the potential to walk in unconditional love is within me. And also the Bible says, put on the new man who after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is like Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why, like, I think it's Dr. Leon who said it yesterday, that sometimes you feel like hating, but you don't what? You don't fully give yourself to it. That's why, as a child of God, if you walk in bitterness or unforgiveness or any kind of resentment tries to come to you or animosity, you are uncomfortable because it's foreign to your nature. Because the Bible says we are partakers of God's divine nature. Hallelujah. Can we all say, I am a partaker of God's divine nature. And God is love. God is what?
Love.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say, my Father is love? See, so Paul, why does Paul write these things to the saints? Because to the church in Corinth, these brethren were not walking in love. But the love was there in them. But they were not walking in it. So he's talking about, you might see the language, it might be, he says, without love, meaning a person without love is like a noisy gong and a tinkling cymbal if that person is just speaking in tongues of men and of angels. Or even if you move in the gifts of the Spirit and you are not walking in agape, he says, you are nothing. And then he says, even if you give everything you have to the poor, because you know what? There are people who give to the poor for sure. You remember Jesus said, don't give alms so that people can see you. Otherwise, you just get your rewards from men and not from the Lord. So motive is what matters. It's not that you have to hide the almsgiving when you are doing it, because you can't do that. It's like, how could you hide a cow or when you were taking it to the temple in those days, or a goat? You couldn't put it in an envelope. But the motive, amen, the driving force, the intention of the heart, of which he says, even if you do good things, if it's not being motivated by love, hallelujah. That's why in everything we do, you see, whatever work of God we are doing, Overland Missions, King's Fire, I mean, we have work in Zimbabwe, ministries all over the world, it must be out of love. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why Paul says, the love of Christ constrains us. Can we all say, the love of Christ constrains us? Let's say that again. The love of Christ constrains us. Hallelujah. Meaning we are moved by the love of God. And that love of Christ, that agape love, it is not natural. It is divine. It is of God. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at this amazing thing. Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. But here's the other amazing mystery. Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. Here's the other amazing mystery. Jesus is actually Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who came to earth wearing a human body called Jesus of Nazareth, because he loved his men, you and me. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, that's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Who though he being God, having everything that makes God, God. Eh? Or it was no robbery for him to be called God or to be considered God, because he is God. Hallelujah. But why did he leave heaven, where he was worshipped by angels, where everything was nice? It was because of love. And with the same love, let us go to the nations. Hallelujah. Amen. Or if we are together, let's shout amen.
Amen.
I pastor a church, and I pastor pastors, and I pastor pastors who pastor pastors. And I've seen a lot over the years. I've also seen that there are people who do things just because everyone else is doing it. Let the love of God move your heart. Because there are even people who do things in their hearts with offense. Good things. Clean the church, but offended. Why? Because they say, if I don't clean the church, they'll say, I'm the only one who's not cleaning the church. So make sure that what is moving your heart is the love of God. Because Paul says, if you do the good things, if it's not out of love, it won't profit you. Because after everything is said and done, what's the conclusion of the whole matter? We are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I will stand there, Phil will stand there. Pastor Vaughn will stand there. Each one of us is going to stand there. The world might know us in a certain context, but let us make sure that we just do it as the word says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As I'm just about to close, let me just wind up to talking a little bit about walking in this love of God. To walk in the love of God, you must acknowledge that you have it. According to Romans 5, which I quote earlier on, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Can we all say, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom God has given unto us. Secondly, you need to pray for a deeper revelation of this love. We see this in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says, I bow my knees to the God. In verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And then verse 17, why is he praying? That, it's in stages. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that he being rooted and grounded in love. It means you can pray that you be rooted and grounded in love. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we say, Father? I ask you that I be rooted and grounded in your love. Amen? Because it will be tested over the years. It will be tested. The reason why we are together here, why I am here, it's not because I sat down and I did a checklist and I said I agree with everything about every one of us. But I love my brothers. I'm committed to them. I pray for them. And I believe the best for them. In the name of Jesus. And I speak well of them. Hallelujah. So 5 years from today, you'll still be needing to walk in the love, rooted and grounded. 10 years, 20, 30, 40, until we enter glory. That's why Paul says love is the greatest. Let's just finish off here. Verse 18, that may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul talks about knowing love which passes knowledge. It means, I believe, he's not just talking about a theoretical understanding, but he's talking about an intimate experience of it. You know it. You know, it's like we talk about a man knowing a woman. It's not talking about just knowing the name of a person. It's the intimacy. That we might know this love intimately. It's a love that passes knowledge. It's like someone says it will blow you away. Why? Because you love people who are not lovely. You love people who don't like you. Because I want to say this to us. Whilst we are doing the work of God, we shall be appreciated and we shall not be appreciated. Others will celebrate us, others will tolerate us, and others won't even tolerate us. They'll hate us. Other people will misinterpret you. They'll even say you have ulterior agenda. And yet you are wishing them the best. Whilst you are laying down your life for them in a village and you have sacrificed a lot to be there, they will say you came there because their country has diamonds. How are you going to react? Paul says the love of God constrains us. And love, it never fails. Hallelujah. And this love, the Bible says, it is kind. It is not arrogant or rude. It's already in us. You know, I practice this because I'm not sharing with you something which I have graduated from. Because as long as I'm in this body, I'm walking in the same kind of love. Amen. The message I'm sharing with you is for me too. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to even to memorize chapters like 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4 to 8, where it describes what love is. And sometimes put your name there and confess it by virtue of the fact that it's in you, by virtue of the fact that your new man is like Christ Jesus. But here's another thing, I think, let me say this finally. First Corinthians 8, Paul says, knowledge, it puffs up, but love edifies. Can we all say knowledge? It puffs up, but love edifies. He's talking about eating meat, and he says, if my eating meat makes my brother to stumble, I would rather live without eating meat. He said, why should I stumble someone whom Christ died for? First Corinthians 8. Walking in love means laying down our lives. It means being not just sensitive. It means also being sensitive to others. We all would enjoy it if people understand us, understand me. But let's also understand others. And making biblical compromises, allow me to say, for the sake of being a blessing to people. Like what Paul says, I became all things to all men, so that by any means I might win some. We have the Mapo story, those who wear white garments in Africa. And I remember one brother was invited to come and preach to them. So he said, here's an opportunity. But before you go into the army meeting where they meet, you have to take off your shoes. What did he do? He didn't fight with them over shoes. He said, shoes are shoes. I'll leave my shoes here. After all, we leave our shoes sometimes at the door if we don't want to put dirt on our carpets. So he left his shoes there and he went inside and preached to them. Hallelujah. Mm. Because sometimes we can be rigid and too radical and fail to walk in love. Because Paul says, there's somebody who can take the meat offered to idols, sanctify it in Jesus' name, and eat it, and not even be bothered. But if somebody is stumbled by that, don't do it. Out of love. Can we all say, out of love? Meaning, if the other brother who is present with you is stumbled, just out of love. Not to say that you are believing that you are going to be eating demons if you eat meat that you bought from a shop which is owned by a witch doctor. Hallelujah. So it calls for adjustments. But one thing about love, now we must never make compromises that are unbiblical. But when it's just an adjustment on my part concerning something, I'll make that adjustment. Like we've got churches in Africa where they don't want to see women wearing pants. So if you're going there to minister and you want to reach those people, and you definitely, what's the most important thing? You're wearing a pant or them hearing the word? Them hearing the word is more important. It's not that you are thinking differently or you are saying I'm sinning by wearing a pant, but you want to reach people. Hallelujah. So there are times when we will find ourselves in some setups of such a nature. So let us be people that understand. In fact, I remember I went to a conference at Rhema in Tulsa, Oklahoma years ago. And I heard a brother sharing a message which blessed me very much. He was talking about people skills. And when he was talking about people skills, he was saying, I don't know whether these statistics are accurate, but that's what he shared with us. He was talking about Dale Carnegie, and he said Dale Carnegie, at the time he died, he had about 43 millionaires working for him. And he went on to say that those millionaires didn't want to leave him and go and work separately from him. Though they had their own things, but they wanted to continue working with him. Why? Because he said when they came to work for Dale, they were not millionaires. And he believed in people development. And because he developed the people knew that I'm wealthy now, I can go out there and work on my own. But if I live here, this is my empowerment zone. This is my place of empowerment. I might lose out and even maybe end up moving backwards in my success if I live here. And it is said that Dale Carnegie, he believed more in people knowledge than product knowledge. And that he stressed very much on the importance of product of people knowledge. That when we have a sister who came to speak in our church recently, she's one of the wealthiest Christian women in our country. And this woman she came and she shared. In fact, she's called Sue Peters, and she's a very wealthy sister. And this sister, she one of her businesses is called Ebony Hair Salons. It's a chain in Zimbabwe of hair salons. But that's just one of her businesses. In the Ebony Hair Salons, there are prayer meetings that are done. It's one of the most popular chain of hair salons in Zimbabwe, if not right at the top. But what this sister does is she loves women. So she ministers to women. And she also has got a program of empowering women. And as she has a program of empowering women, what she does is they come, you see, she gets a place like this. And then after she gets a place like this, then she equips it. And then she brings in the women who are professionals at hairdressing and all that. And then when they come, they don't just come to work for her. They actually come to work for themselves. And as they work for themselves, but she gets something from what, I mean, she has agreements she enters into with them. And because of that, some of the ladies, she was telling us, my wife goes to those saloons, but I don't get there because they're for ladies. I sometimes I just go there to leave my wife there. But she was telling us, some of the ladies who work for her, now they drive Mercedes-Benz cars, nice cars. They're wealthy. But they continue working with her. It's a Christian place. They do prayer meetings and Bible studies. But she's empowering them. What am I saying? I'm saying I've discovered something in my own testimony in ministry. In the early days as a pastor, I was very ignorant. I had never worked as a pastor. I was an evangelist. And as an evangelist, I was pastoring my church in an evangelistic way. And I did not have much time with people. I thought I loved the people. But I was rude. I was arrogant. We had what you call a backdoor revival. The backdoor revival is 10 people walk in, 8 walk out, and 1 remains. And that was my experience. And I thought it's because I'm preaching the uncompromised word. In 1994, I met Apostle Stanley Ndovi, a man of God from Malawi. When I met that man of God, he opened. I went to his church, and when I went to his church, I saw people of dignity and who loved God, who were on fire for God, including senior government officers, cabinet ministers, and people like that. And some wealthy, wealthy people. I remember I stayed in one of the homes. I mean, I'm talking about you stay in a home which is like a hotel, where you are given a menu in the morning and for breakfast or for lunch, and there are professional, qualified chefs in the home. And I was staying in that home, and I'm observing all this. And he comes to our church, he preaches. But you know that man, he's so loving and so wise. He saw my problems, but he never talked to me for some time. And then one time he made a trip and he came to Harare, where I live. And when he came, we had booked him in a hotel. He went there. He came to us the end of our conference, and I was wondering, why is he coming to us the end of our conference? We thought he would come earlier because we had advertised his coming. But then he sent a message that he desired to meet me and my wife. We went to his room. And when he went to his room, he said to me, you know what, Pastor? Even if there was no conference this time, I was going to come. And he, in a very loving way, he shared with me his observations. He also said to me, don't you think part of the people leaving your church, you are part of the problem? He spoke in a nice way. And when he spoke to me those things, I was listening. But one thing that helped me to receive from him, I knew he loved me. Hallelujah. Amen. I knew he loved me. I knew he meant well for me. And he pointed out a number of things. And what I did is, I made adjustments. And some of the things, people who had left our church had seen those things. And they'd mentioned those things. But I thought they were rebelling against the anointed men of God. But we had suffered. But what we have seen happening ever since, we have seen growth in the ministry. Amen. And my heart values people. Whether they are rich or poor, whether they are educated or uneducated, we have different kinds of people in the church, and the work is growing. But God changed my heart. You have to keep on loving. And also, even there was a time when I would sort of talk harshly to those who were speaking to me harshly. But you know, the word of God says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And also, the word of God says, the men of God must not strive. When you come across those who fight you or who are trying to quarrel with you, you have to what? You control yourself. Now, there are times when I just decide not to have a conversation because I don't want to talk in the flesh. There are, by the grace of God, I even grew. One time I remember I had one brother. That brother had created problems in the church. But what I did is I answered a wrong with a wrong. And my wife normally says to me in our meetings, you don't answer a wrong with a wrong. Two wrongs never make a right. And what I did is I was so harsh to him and all that because he had done some things which were not right. So he left our church. And when he left our church with another brother, the Holy Spirit dealt with me. I was fasting and just spending time in God's presence. The Holy Spirit dealt with me and God told me, go and apologize. I mean, go and apologize. The Lord spoke to me. So what did I do? I called, set an appointment, and I went and I said, you know what? I'm not saying that you did the right thing, but I'm talking for myself. The way I spoke to you, I did not talk to you the right way. I'm sorry. And I went to the other brother again and I spoke to him. And I apologized. And what has happened, you know, God has worked miracles. Love never fails. The first brother who had created most of the problems, today he's in our church. He's one of our leaders. He came back after about 5 years. 5 or 6 years. He came back. The other one, he's not in our church, but we are so close. It's only that he left the country. But his wife was saying, if we were back in Zimbabwe, we would be a church. Love never fails. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Why don't we pray this prayer together? Let's say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit whom you have given to me. My Father, you are love. You live in me. I'm your temple. I'm a temple of love. I'm full of your love. In the name of Jesus, I commit myself to walk in love. In the name of Jesus. Towards all people. Good people and bad people. Those who love me and those who hate me. In the name of Jesus. I will be committed to God-given relationships all the days of my life by the grace of God in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I am a lover. I'm not a hater. In Jesus' name. Amen.